Muito bem, acho que hoje. Okay. This one is that. That's what I'm using. So, thank you. Usually, we assume that Kriyas HaTorah, Parshas HaShavua, is a Takana D'Rabbanan. The Gemara says Moshe Rabbeinu made a Takana Shaleyachu Shloshes Moshe Beis Dinai, made a Takana Shaleyachu Shloshes Yamim Balot Torah. So we assume the Shedim HaChamishin Shabbos is a Takana D'Rabbanan. The Ritvan Megillah wants to say that Kriyas HaTorah on Shabbos and Yontif is a Din D'Oraisa, it's part of the mitzvah of Shabboson. The Ramban Chumash has like that in Parshas Emor, that the Shabbosim and the Yomim Tovim are referred to by the Chumash as Mikroi Kodesh, and he translates like Kruei Hoedo. Kruei Hoedo means those who gather together. Mikro Kodesh means a day of holy assemblage. We should be Misas of Yachad for Inyoni Kedusha. We should gather together to have Tefillah B'Tzibur, to have Drosha Sachacham and public Shir Talmud Torah Barabim. That's what the Prima Gordon points out. It's interesting that the Ramban holds that Tfilah B'chol Yom is only the Rabbanan. The Rambam and the Sefer HaMitzvah considers the obligation to daven once a day every day as a Chiyav D'Oraisa. The Rambam quotes the Gemara, the first daven Tainus. L'yovda B'chol Levavchem, Eisei Avodah Shebelev is Tfilah. So the Rambam holds that that's an obligation once a day every day, to daven once a day every day. And the Ramban disagrees and he says, no, the Gemara says Tfilah is only the Rabbanan. The Rambam knows that the Gemara says Tfilah is only the Rabbanan. So the Rambam says, the Gemara means the Nusach HaTfilah is only the Rabbanan. The obligation to daven three times a day is only the Rabbanan, but the obligation to daven once a day, every day, using your own words, using your own Nusach, the Rambam holds that that's Menatur. And the Ramban disagrees. He says, only Tfilah b'yeis tzora. When there's a major disaster, then he says Tfilah is there, I said. But when everything is going well, he says the Chiv Tfilah is only the Rabbanan. So even though the Ramban holds that Tfilah b'chayam is only the Rabbanan, but Tfilah b'tzibur is the Raisa on Shabbos and Yom. That's how Ramban writes on Parshas Emor, that all the Shabbos and Yom Tov are referred to as Mikroi Kodesh. And Mikroi Kodesh, he translates Miloshin Kroi Hoeda, a day of holy assemblage. The Gemara in Maseches Rosh Hashanah comments on the phrase Mikroi Kodesh. The Gemara says that it refers to, what it refers to is either to recite Kiddush. The Gemara quotes a Machlekes Satanoim. Mikroi Kodesh means to declare the day. Likro, Kodesh to declare, bepeh, to recite Kiddush. The Gemara sounds like it says that Kiddush on Yontav is there, right? So to declare that the day has sanctity. Or Mikroi Kodesh means a day on which it's also about Sirius Malach. The Gemara has a Machlekes Satanoim. But the Ramban HaChumash thinks that the Pshut Rishon Mikro is Mikroi Kodesh, a day of holy assembly. So that's what the Ritva, following this line of thinking of the Ramban, that Tefillah B'Tzibur on Shabbos and Yontav is their Isa, and Kriyas HaTorah on Shabbos and Yontav is their Isa, part of Mikroi Kodesh. That's what the Ritva writes in Megillah, that Moshe Rabbeinu's Takana was Sheni V'Chamishi, but Kriyas HaTorah on Shabbos, that's not a Takana D'Rabbanan, that's part of the Din der Isa of Mikroi Kodesh. But we usually assume not so. We usually assume that Kriyas HaTorah on Shabbos Takana D'Rabbanan. But Parshas Chet HaEgel, that's a Shaila. The Ramban and the Sefer HaMitzvahs disagrees with the Rambam's Minyan HaMitzvahs. In principle, he agrees that you have 613 mitzvahs, 248 mitzvahs sesei, and 365 mitzvahs lo sesei. He picks on a few 16, 17, 18 mitzvahs sesei, he deletes, and he replaces them with other mitzvahs, and such a similar number, 17, 18 mitzvahs lo sesei, he deletes and he replaces them with the other mitzvahs. So he's not sure regarding some of the mitzvahs which mitzvah should be included. So he writes, he's not sure whether Zechiras Chet HaEgel, it says in Chumash Devarim, I think it's also in Parshas, he says, Zochar Eis Asher HaKtzavta Es Hashem Alakecha Bamidbar. You should remember the fact that you angered HaKadosh Baruch Hu by worshipping the Chet HaEgel. So Ramban writes, he's not sure whether that's a mitzvah L'doiris, but that's one of the 613 mitzvahs L'doiris. It's an obligation once a year, every year, to recite, to read Parshas Chet HaEgel. Well, maybe it's only for that generation. That was the Musa, that was the Tochocha that Moshe Rabbeinu is giving the Bnei Yisrael. They shouldn't forget the fact that they worship the Chet HaEgel, but it's not a Din L'doiris. Why should it be a Din L'doiris? What kind of a mitzvah is that? So the Gemara in the first parak of Maseches Avodah Zarah has an interesting comment that L'ho Yisrael Shebeoso Do Ruim Lo Oysa Maisa. But it doesn't make sense. But Derech HaTeva, that a whole nation that just experienced Yetzias Mitzrayim and Esther Makas and Kriyas Yamsuf and Maimon HaSinai and Nisim and Nifloas that they should worship Avodah Zarah. After all that, they should worship Avodah Zarah. So, but Derech HaTeva, psychologically, it doesn't make any sense at all. HaKadosh Baruch Hu suspended their Bechira Chavshis and caused them to sin. Why did he do such a thing? To teach them the lesson of Chubal, Horis Chubal Arabim. So if you say it like that, so then we can understand why there's a mitzvah to read the Parshas Chet Ha'egel every year. HaKadosh Baruch Hu caused us to sin with the Chet Ha'egel in order to teach us this lesson of Chuvah. Kedei Lohoris Chuvah L'Rabim. The Gemara said the same about David HaMelech, that B'derech HaTeva, David HaMelech would not have sinned with Bathsheba Lohoi David Roy Lohi Samaisa Ela Lohoris Chuvah L'Yochid. HaKadosh Baruch Hu suspended his Bechira Chavshis and caused him to sin in order to teach the lesson of Chuvah to the Yochid. That the Chet Ha'egel was the Lohoris Chuvah L'Rabim, even if the whole Tzibur, the Rov HaTzibur, worships Avodah Zarah, it's possible to pull yourself out of it, and even if the Melech sins with Eishes Ish, it's possible to pull yourself out of that. That's why in Shulchan Aruch it says, Yesh Omrim, there is an opinion that Parshas Zohar is their Eisa, but Yesh Omrim that Parshas Parah is their Eisa. Parshas Zohar is their Eisa, that we understand, that the Gemara in Megillah, Daf Yudav, learns that from Sukkim. If it would only say Zohar, you could say that it means Belev. That it says, Al Tishkach, Harei Belev Omah, Hamani Mekayim Zohar, Zohar means B'peh. Then the Gemara learns that from a Lima, that it has to be Mitoch HaSefer. You have to learn Parshas Zohar from a Sefer Torah. So Parshas Zohar is their Eisa, where the Tosfos get that idea from. They got it from the Gemara. That's what it sounds like in the Gemara. Parshas Zohar their Eisa. Where did they get the idea? Where does the Shulchan Aruch get the idea that Parshas Parah is their Eisa? That's the question.
What's the nature of David HaMelech's faith, being that the Gemara in Shabbos says that Kala Omer David Chata in Alatoa?
Well, it certainly looked like it was Baal Eishes Ish. The Maharal's sign was that it was Eishes Ish. Not everybody realized the fact that the get kris is because of Leishta. The Gemara in Ksubis is not so sure whether that's what happened or not. And his enemies did accuse him of being Baal Eishes Ish. That was the public perception, that he was Baal Eishes Ish. He was deadly embarrassed over the fact you have so many prokem and tilim, that he was so embarrassed over the fact that everybody's attacking him, everybody's accusing him of being Baal Eishes Ish. So that's the Shaila de Vilna Gaon raises the question, what does it mean? The Mechaber writes, Yesham, that Parshas Parah is there. I said, where is there a Mokah that Parshas Parah should be there? I said, so the Bir Agra writes it's a Toy Sefer. It's hard to say it's a Toy Sefer because it appears in so many different unrelated Rishonim. It sounds like there was such an opinion. They're not just that a Sefer made a mistake in one Sefer. It appears in a few Rishonim who are not copying from each other. So where does it come from? So some suggest that Parshas Parah is their Isa means when you're making a Paraduma, when you're preparing a Paraduma in the history of the world, there were nine. The Mishnah says in Mishnah's part, there were nine in the past, and there's going to be one loss of love. There's going to be a tenth paraduma. When you use up the yesh, it's going to make a new paraduma if you can. So every time they made a paraduma, the Gemara in Yuman, the first parak, learns that from Sukkim, that just like the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur, in conjunction with the Seder Avodah, has to lane from Parshas Achrei Mois. Kohen Gadol lane from Parshas Achrei Mois. So too, in conjunction with Asiyas Paraduma, you have to lane from Parshas Paraduma. So some Achrayim want to say that that's what it means, that Parshas Parah is their Eisa, and not what we lay in Parshas Parah every year. This coming Shabbos is Parshas Parah. No, Parshas Parah is their Eisa means when you happen to be preparing a Paraduma, then it's their Eisa. Others suggest that Parshas Parah is their Eisa. I think the Stipler has this suggestion. I think the Aruch HaShulchan writes the first one. Parshas Parah is their Eisa when you're making a Paraduma. It doesn't mean the Parshas Parah that you lay in every year. That's not what it sounds like in Shulchan Aruch. Others say Parshas Parah is their Eisa, not that there's a chiyuv on every yochid to listen to Parshas Parah, like Parshas Zohar, there's a chiyuv on every yochid to listen to Parshas Zohar and to be yotze with Shemei Kohena. No, Parshas Parah is their Eisa means it's a chiyuv mutal on the bezin, because the pasuk says v'hizartim is b'nei Yisrael mitum asam, v'hizartim aloshen nozir, to separate, nizir echov. So Hizartim is a choiva hamutelas ala bezn. Bezn has to see to it that the tzibur doesn't violate tumas migdosh, that tmeim shouldn't enter into the beis hamigdosh. So that's why the rabbanut has an obligation to put a sign by the Kaisla Maravi. The Jewish people are all tummy, we're not permitted to go on the other side of the Kaisla Maravi, because that's already harabayis, and the tummy is not allowed to go, certain tameim are not allowed to go on the harabayis. So that's what the stipula writes like that. He thinks that parshas paros deraisa means it's a chiv on the bezdin to recite parshas paros in public, to warn the public, v'hizartem es b'nei Yisrael mitumasim, l'hafrish es b'nei Yisrael mi k'nisa l'migdash in the state of Tumah. Yeah, again, but that's not what it sounds like in the Shulchan Aruch. The simple reading in the Shulchan Aruch is parshas paros deraisa means for us today. Each one has to participate in listening to parshas paros. Why should that be deraisa? So that's what some suggest. Rashi, in the beginning of Parshas Chukas, quotes from the Bamidbar Rabbah. Rashi quotes it, Medrash of Rav Moshe Darshan. Rashi a few times on Chumash quotes Rav Moshe Darshan, and we have all of that in Bamidbar Rabbah. Bamidbar Rabbah apparently was not from the days of the Amoraim, obviously not from the days of the time, it was composed later. Bereishis Rabbah, I think, is older, from the days of the Amoraim, but Bamidbar Rabbah was composed in the days of the Rishonim, based on the Likud of different Midrashim that they had. So Rashi quotes this Medrash that the idea behind Paraduma is to serve as a kapara for the cheto egel, the tava ha'emid kaneach soyas b'no, that the para and the egel are a mother and a baby. The egel azov wasn't the real egel, it was made from gold, but it was in the shape of an egel. So when the baby has a dirty diaper, so the mother has to change the diaper and clean the baby. So that's where Rashi quotes tava ha'emid kaneach soyas b'no. Let the mother come, the paraduma is the mother, so let us bring the paraduma, which is a certain tachatasi, in a certain sense it's like a carbon chatas, has certain dinim like a carbon chatas, the Gemara learns that, and this will serve as an atonement. The procedure of preparing a paraduma will serve as an atonement for the chet ha'egel. So that's what some want to suggest, that the reason why parshas paros deraisa is really, we follow that Ramban, that we have an obligation to lay once a year, every year, the Chet HaEgel. In the Magen Avraham quote, the Magen Avraham didn't have a Sefer HaMitzvah, so he didn't have this Ramban, but he quotes a Medrash Yalkut Shemoni that says like the Ramban. Ramban didn't quote the Medrash Yalkut Shemoni either. Magen Avraham doesn't quote the Ramban, Ramban doesn't quote the Yalkut, but the Magen Avraham quote this Yalkut Shemoni that there's an obligation to lay Parshas Chet HaEgel. Zohar Reis Asher Ksavtas Hashem Alakecha Bamidbar. There is an obligation to learn, to remember Chet HaEgel. What do you have to remember Chet HaEgel for? To remember the lesson of Tshuva, Laharis Tshuva L'Rabim. The whole reason why HaKadosh Baruch Hu caused Bnei Yisrael to sin with the Chet HaEgel is in order to teach us the lesson that it's possible to do Tshuva. So where do you see that the Tshuva is possible? Where do you see it's possible to have an atonement for the Chet HaEgel? That's the Paradumah. Tavo Heimet Kanech Tzeras Beno. That's what some want to suggest, that the laning of Parshas Paros Deraisa, that's the way to fulfill the mitzvah of Zechiras Chet HaEgel. So you have to have in mind this Shabbos, when they lay in Parshas Parah, when they lay in Parshas Chet HaEgel, when they lay in this Shabbos, laying both Chet HaEgel and the Parah Adumah. We should have in mind to be here to this mitzvah of Zechiras Chet HaEgel.
What about the other Zechiras? Can you decree off a Midiraisa? Like Miriam, Shabbos?
Shabbos, the Gemara says you recite Kiddush every Shabbos. It doesn't have to be Mitorech HaKsav. Zechiras Chet Miriam doesn't say that it has to be Mitorech HaKsav. The Gemara learns that Parsha Zohar of Amalek has to be Mitorech HaKsav.
The Gemara uses that to prove that Kriyas HaMegil also has to be Mitorech HaKsav, because Pasuk says Nizkar Menasseh. The Gemara says from Zohar we see that anytime it says Zohar, you have to be Mitorech HaKsav, no?
Mm-hmm.
So shouldn't we learn from there as opinion out everywhere else?
All the other Zohars, I don't know. The Gemara doesn't say. The Gemara doesn't say.
The Magen Avraham doesn't say not to have that
kavanah
when you
lay
those psukim from the
Torah. Magen Avraham says when you lay in, Magen Avraham asks, how come we make such a big tzimmus, we have an in Shabbos, we invite all the different rabbanim and all the students from the yeshiva, from the SOI, and the Gabbai makes an announcement, everybody should have a mind to be yotze, so why don't they make such a parshas chet o'egel and parshas chet Miriam? So he says it's a genai for the tzaddikim, it's not a genai for the tzaddikis Miriam, we should make such a big fuss. It's a genai from Bnei Yisrael. We should make a big tzimmus to announce that everyone should have mind to pay attention to the Parshas Chet HaEgel. So the Magen Avraham says that just like if a person missed Parshas Zohar, so he can be yotze when you hear Parshas HaShavua, when they laid in the Sefer Torah. So he says we don't make a big tzimmus of Parshas of Chet Miriam or of Chet HaEgel when they lay in it, the Parshas HaShavua will yotze. That's how the Magen Avraham says. They usually make an announcement. Everybody should have in mind to be Yitzit Parshas Parah. Yeah. But the whole announcement really should be, have in mind to be Yitzit Chet HaEgel, so that we don't want to announce, that the Magen Avraham don't want to announce. We should have that in mind. But at least the Baal Kori should know that such a thing exists, that there is, if the Baal Kori, even if you hold the mitzvah, Saint Tzichas Kavanah, but you have to know that the mitzvah exists, that what you're doing is a mitzvah. You have to know there is a mitzvah to hear Parshas Chet HaEgel, possibly once a year, every year. After the Chet HaEgel, when Moshe Rabbeinu sees Bnei Yisrael worshipping the Abel, so he smashes the luchas, and then he had to make luchas shnias. So it's interesting. The Gemara says, the Gemara makes a comment on the pasuk, Asher Shibarta, so the Gemara has a comment. The Rabbanu Shalom tells Moshe Rabbeinu, Yashikoyach Sheshibarto. What kind of Yashikoyach Sheshibarto? So some say that that's based on the passage that the Gemara has. The Gemara comments on a pasuk in Yeshayah, Hamachshel Azos Tachas Yodecho. So the Gemara says sometimes the Amoraim were asked a shayla and they would give a psak and they made a mistake. And then they realized they made a mistake. They went through the issue all over again and they explained to the Balabat they made a mistake. And the correct psak is the following. The Gemara has a lashon based on that pasuk that sometimes a person really doesn't understand well the halacha unless he makes a mistake in psak. And then he's going to try to defend his original psak. Then he's going to go through the topic very, very well. And then he'll see whether he was right or wrong. And then he'll really understand it. Some say that that's what happened over here. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe Rabbeinu, Yashikach Shashibarta, that if I would have only given the Luchas Rishaynais, and there wouldn't have been any hassle, there wouldn't have been any Shvirus HaLuchas, it would have been accepted, it would have been Shvach. But now that it was smashed, and it was Nichsha Batchilo, and I had to start making Luchas Shnias all over again, so now it's even going to be better. The Kabbalah Sater, the second time around, is going to be better. That's how the Gemara has a comment on the pasuk in Shvi in Parshas Kisiso. The Gemara in Gittin and Perak HaNezokin comes Ksov l'chos hadvarm ha'ela ki al pi hadvarm ha'ela karati et chabris the es Yisrael. So the Gemara sees over here Ksov l'chos refers to the Torah Shemichsav al pi hadvarm ha'ela refers to the Torah Shebalpeh. Ksov l'chos hadvarm ha'ela part of Torah, these are not others. Hadvarm ha'ela is a miyut. These things have to be Torah Shebichsav, and those things have to be Torah Shebalpeh. And it says, Karati et chabris v'esiso, the Ika krisis bris is really on the Torah Shebalpeh. Why is this mentioned after the Lucha Shniyos? So the Beis Halevi has a famous essay, the end of the second chelik, in Shalosh Shuvos Beis Halevi, where he says, based on passages in various Midrashim and several passages from the Zohar, that the plan for Kabbalah Satura changed. The original plan was that everything was going to be on the Luchas Rishaynas. And he quotes Gemaras and Midrashim like that, that everything was going to be Torah Shebichsav. There wasn't going to be any Torah Shebalpeh at all. And then after the Shvirus HaLuchas, the second plan was Saluchas, Shnei Luchas, Karishanim, Chasapti, Sadvarim, Shehoyu, Allah L'Rechos HaRishonim, Asher Shibartu. At the time that Moshe Rabbeinu smashed the Luchas Rishaynas, all that appeared were the Aseres HaDibras. The rest of Kol HaTerukula that was appeared was Parech Ba'avir. That's what the Midrashim say. Yalkut Shemayni and other Midrashim say. The different versions in the Midrash, what happened over here? The Beis HaLevi says, just like we have Machlekes and Halacha, sometimes you have Machlekes and Hashkofe, understanding stories in the Tanakh. So it is a fundamental Machlekes among the Tanaim. What happened with the Shviras Haluchas? The Gemara has one version, and Moshe Rabbeinu smashed the luchas. He took the luchas and he smashed it. The other version in the Medrash has it that the luchas were so heavy he couldn't hold it anymore. He dropped it. Why did they become so heavy? Because the luchas were light. Kozman, so much was engraved, so it was missing a lot of stone. It had a lot of avir, had a lot of space in it, so the whole thing wasn't so heavy. And then when Moshe Rabbeinu sees Bnei Yisrael dancing around Egel Hazov, so the Medrash says all the osios of the Torah were parchos. With the exception of the Aseres HaDibros, they remained. So if all the osios were parchos, everything was full of stone, so it was too heavy to hold. So he dropped it. So it's a psamachlekes, whether he dropped the luchas because they became so heavy, or he smashed the luchas on purpose. The Beis HaLevi says, yeah, just like we have machlekes in halacha, We have a machlokes in drush, in understanding of the story. What happened over here? So that's where the Beis Halevi has all arichas. The original plan was that kol haTorah kula was going to be bichsav, Torah shebichsav, and then because of the chet v'egel, HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to change it and make part of the Torah bichsav, part of the Torah balpeh. Why? Because of the chet v'egel. What does one have to do with the other? So that's where the Gemara, he quotes many midrashim, that according to the original plan, it was going to be charis ala luchas atikri, charis ala cheris, cheris from shlita, from the umas ha'olam. If he would have accepted the luchas rishonis and everything would have gone kahogen, then no umah v'loshin would have been able to have any shlita over the Bnei Yisrael. So then we wouldn't have had any, we wouldn't have needed any Torah shebal peh. The Torah shebichsav would have been fine. But because of the Shviras Halucha, so when it was no longer a Pchina of Cherus, the Umas Olam, because of the fact that we sinned with the Chet Tegel, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the Umas Olam the ability to have Shlita over Bnei Yisrael. Throughout all the generations, there were Umas Olam who had the Nemshol and Shlita over Bnei Yisrael. So there were those who claimed, the Catholics still claim like that, that they are the Am HaNivchar. That when the Jews rejected Osa Ho'ish, so we lost our status as Am HaNivchar, and therefore we have no right to Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael is the Eretz HaNefcheres for the Am HaNifchem. We don't deserve it anymore because we rejected Yoshke. And they are the Am HaNifchem. So to prove that they are the Am HaNifchem, so they study the Tanakh. So they have Shlita over the Tanakh. Tanakh is Torah Shebichsav, but they don't have the Shlita over the Torah Shebal Peh. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, after the Chet Ha'egel, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, from now on we're no longer Cherus, we no longer have Cherus from the Shlita of the Umas Ha'olam, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to give something unique to the Bnei Yisrael that we should be singled out, that to know that we are the Am HaNivcha. So that's when he came up with this new plan, the second version of the Mesiras HaTorah. There's going to be Torah Shebichsav and Torah Shebal Peh, and the Umas Ha'olam won't have any shlita over the Torah Shebal Peh. Tosfos in Gittin quotes a Medrash commenting on the pasuk in Navi, Echtav lo ruba tarasi halokam ozar nechshavu. It's a difficult pasuk. So the Medrash interprets the pasuk to mean Echdo lo ruba tayrasi. Kadosh Baruch Hu says, if I'm going to put the whole Torah, I'm going to commit the entire Torah to Bichsav, Halokam Azar Nachshavu, the Catholics will say that the Jews are strangers, they're not the Am HaNivcha, we're the Am HaNivcha. So the Bnei Shalom says, after the Chet Ha'egel, the Duma Solom will have Shlita of Bnei Israel, he couldn't put everything, he didn't want anymore, that everything should be Bichsav. He wanted to have part of the Torah should be Baal Peh, that should be unique for the Bnei Israel. We should be able to claim that we are the Am HaNivcha. That's what Rav Soloveitchik used to add on to the Beis Halevi. Rav Shlomo Levilner writes in his Sefer Binyan Shlomo, what do we have two Yamim Tovim to celebrate Kabbalas HaTorah? We have Shavuos, is Man Matan Torah Seinu. Then Yom Kippurim, the Mishnah says in the end of Tainus, L'hoi Elohem L'Yisrael Yamim Tovim, K'chamishah Sabaah V'ki Yom Kippurim, those are the two jolliest days in the calendar. So the Gemara says, Bishleima Yom Kippurim, we understand what we're celebrating, Yom Kabbalas HaTorah, the Luchos Shnius. So the Rav Shlomo Levilner asks, why do we need two holidays to celebrate Kabbalas HaTorah? Shavuos is Man Matan Torah Seinu, Yom Kippur is also Kabbalas HaLuchos. So Rav Shlomo Levilner says, one is we're celebrating Kabbalas Torah Shebichsav, and one we're celebrating Kabbalas Torah Shebal Peh. So it sounds a little bit forced, it sounds just arbitrary. He said, Tzvei Dinim. Kasha was what he needed to Yom Kippur. He said, the Teretz is the two parts to the Torah, and on Shavuos we celebrate Kabbalas Torah Shebichsav, and on Yom Kippur we celebrate Kabbalas Torah Shebal Peh. So Rav Soloveitchik said, no, it's not forced. The way the Beis Halevi explained the whole plan that there's going to be two parts to the Torah was developed on Yom Kippur when HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Moshe Rabbeinu the Luchos Shnius. It only had the Aseres HaDibros, unlike the Luchos Rishonis, which apparently had much more written on it. And that's when HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, after giving the Luchos Shnius, K'sav Lecha Asad Dvarim Ha'ela, now it's a new plan. I only authorize you to write Torah Shebichsav. And there's going to be a Torah Shebal Peh. Al Pi Advarim Ha'ela is a Torah Shebal Peh. And Lakaris HaKadosh Baruch Hu Bris Nimisol El Al Torah Shebal Peh. Ki Al Pi Advarim Ha'ela Karati Yitcha Bris Vesisol. The Ikka Kris's Bris is really on the Torah Shebal Peh, because that's what shows the uniqueness of Bnei Yisrael. That's the only thing that shows that we are the Am HaNivchar. As far as the Torah Shebichsav, that's available to all Yom HaSoil that they have access to. The Torah Shebal Peh is supposed to be unique to Bnei Yisrael. That's why many Meforshim interpret the Sridi Yesh has a tshuva about this. The Gemara says, you're not permitted to teach Torah to the Umas Olam. Magid Rav Liakil Chukam Mishpat Yisrael Yosar Chen L'chol Goy. You're not allowed to teach Torah to the Goy. So you're not allowed to teach Torah. The Goy is not allowed to read Tanakh. You're not allowed to read Chumash or Tanakh. Can't teach the Torah what it says in the Chumash. Can't teach to an Ochri. So many suggest that the Marsha on the Gemara claims Chidushi Agoras Marsha. He thinks that it only goes on Soidas HaTorah. You're not allowed to teach to the Umas Olam. And others say there's a difference. Sridi Yesh quotes a Shita Mukubetz, it's like that. A difference between Torah Shebichsav and Torah Shebal Peh. Torah Shebichsav is open to the public. In the days of Yeshua ben Nun, when they crossed over the Yarden and they wrote Kol HaTorah Kula by Heitev, Im Shivim Lashon, it was to make it available for the Umas Olam. They should see what it says in the Chumash. But that's only as far as Torah Shebichsav is concerned. Torah Shebal Peh, that's supposed to be reserved for the Bnei Yisrael. That's what it means. Of course, Kadosh Baruch Hu brisim Yisrael el al Torah Shabbat Peh, that makes the Jewish people unique.
What does the Gemara Megillah say by Talmai HaMelech? It was considered such a terrible day when they translated the Torah, when Torah Shabbat Sav should be accessible.
Torah Shabbat Sav should really be accessible in the original, not in translation. The Gemara is not happy about any translation. And then they were forced into changing fudging a little bit. They didn't give a mistranslation, but they didn't exactly translate the way it said, because they were afraid they were going to get into trouble. So whenever you have a translation to make the Torah Shebichsav available to all the Umas Olam, doesn't it gefell? But with the translation, that's always a problem. Translations are always a problem. Or Baruch Epstein has an autobiography where he talks about everything under the sun. So he has one chapter about Klisheni. Title of the chapter is Klisheni. He talks about translations. So he writes about different mistakes that crept into many different translations of different things. So translations are always a problem. The Gemara has a comment on this pasuk. Sov l'chos ha'advarim ha'ele means you're only allowed to write Torah Shebichsav, lo Torah Shebal Peh. Al pi ha'advarim ha'ele, dvarim shebal peh, you're not allowed to have Bichsav. Everything has to be Torah Shebichsav, has to be Bichsav. Torah Shebal Peh has to be Bal Peh. Then the Gemara raises a question, so how come they reached a certain point where they permitted the writing down of the Mishnayos, the writing down of the Torah Shebal Peh? That's the question. Historically, when did that occur? The Gemara just assumes that it occurred. Did that occur in the days where Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi edited the Mishnayos? He didn't compose the Mishnayos. He edited the Mishnayos based on traditions from earlier generations. So is he the one who committed it to writing? He authorized the writing of the Mishnayos, and maybe even after Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi edited the Mishnayos, maybe it was still being recited Bal Peh. Maybe they only wrote it down in the days of Ravina Rav Ashi. So this is two versions in the Igeres Rav Shreirigun. Shreirigun wrote a holy Igeres about the Mesira of the Torah Shebal Peh from generation to generation. Most of the Achrayim who discussed the topic, most of the Achrayim, most of the history books assumed that it wasn't, the Mishnayos were not learned mitoch haksav till the days of Ravina Rav Ashi. Even after Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi edited the Mishnayos, it was still being transmitted Bal Peh. My nafkamina, what's the halachic significance? The Mishal in history. It could be a nafkamina for the Rambam in the beginning of Mishnah Torah, gives you the whole Seder HaMasar, Moshe Kibbal Torah, Misinim, Masar, Yeshua, Yeshua, Liskeinim, like the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. So the Rambam goes till Ravina Rav Ashi, tells you how many generations it was. And the Meiri, the beginning of Pirkei Avos, goes from Ravina Rav Ashi till his own generation. He says, I got from my father got from my grandfather. He tells you all the way back. The Rambam could have also done that kunst. Could have told you also how to go back to Ravina Rav Ashi. He stops at Ravina Rav Ashi. So the suggestion was made that maybe Al Pidin, the Rambam holds that the Masorah of the Torah Shebal Peh, being transmitted Bal Peh, went till the days of Ravina Rav Ashi. And then they started learning Mishnayos mitoch haksav. So there's still a Masorah of Torah Shebal Peh, how to understand Torah Shebal Peh. You can't just sit and read Svarim if you don't have an oral transmission. Not everything could be written down in Svarim. You're going to have to read a million books in order to get everything. And the books are still not going to have everything. Sometimes you have to read the body language of the Rebbe. Sometimes you have to understand what he says with a niggun. The Rebbe's making fun of something, or the Rebbe's saying with a straight face, with a dry humor. Sometimes the Svarim are writing something as a joke, so you have to know whether he really means it. It's b'tmiyo b'nichusa. So you still need an oral transmission of the Torah Shebal Peh to transmit attitudes, to transmit a lot of things. Not everything can be written b'ksav. But the Ikim Mesira of the Torah Shebaal Peh was really up until the days of Ravina Rav Ashi. So that's why many assume that the Gemara has a lashon like that in Bava Metzia, Daf Pei Hey, Daf Pei Vav. The Gemara says there was a Sifra Shel Adam Harishon. It says in Bereishis, Zeh Sefer told the Sodom. What does it say? What Chumash is a history book of mankind. That's what it means. Zeh Sefer told the Sodom. Is this a history book? It didn't do a good job. It doesn't look like not so good a history book. Gemara says, no, Sefer told the Sodom is a reference to Sifra Shel Adam Harishon, not. It's a Sefer that HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed Adam HaRishon. HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed Adam HaRishon the development of the history of the Torah, history of the Jewish people, and history of the world. He showed Adam HaRishon Dor Dor V'Dorshav, Dor Dor V'Chachamav, Dor Dor V'Sarfav. He showed him what's in store in the future. How did HaKadosh Baruch Hu know? People have Bechir HaChavshis. Yeah, people have Bechir HaChavshis within a certain range. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is leading history in a certain direction. To us, it seems a little cockeyed. This is the way the Rebbeinu Shlom wants to lead history. The world is ready to explode. The world is ready to destroy itself. So we don't understand what direction it's going. But the Gemara says HaKadosh Baruch Hu is leading history, is guiding history. So the Gemara says there were some Amoraim who saw snatches of this Sifra Shel Adam HaRishon. Rabbi Yehuda Anasi gave smicha to Rav, and he never gave smicha to Shmuel. They had to leave. They both left the bubble. So Rav Tarangachapti got smicha, and Shmuel never got smicha. So Rabbi Ranasi felt very bad about that. So one of the Chachamim told Rabbi Ranasi, you shouldn't feel bad. I saw in Sefer Shalot HaMarishon, there's going to be Rav and Shmuel, and he's going to get smicha. He's not going to get smicha. That was the original plan. That's what the Rebbeinu Shlom wants. Then the Gemara has that in Bav Metzia, Daf Pehe. Then the Gemara in the first parak in Avodah Zarah quotes snatches in the Gemara in Bav Metzia. The Gemara has a Loshen. One line that it says in this Sefer Shel Adam HaRishon is that Ravina v'Rav Ashi Sof Haro. That's the end of the period of Hairo, Paskening Shilas. Why? We're still Paskening Shilas today. There are people still Paskening Shilas today. Why is that called Sof Hairo? So what it probably means is that that's the end of the full tradition of the Torah Shebaal Peh. Hairo is only on Torah Shebaal Peh. Whatever is Torah Shebichsav, the Gemara calls that in Hairi, Zil Kri Bei Rav, ask a child to learn in Cheder. Chumash, you don't see a psak. Rav Moshe Feinstein passed me, I have to put on tefillin even on Thursday mornings. It's a pasuk in Chumash. What's the chiddush? Rav Soloveitchik said that you're not allowed to perform a bris milah on a yotzei doifen on Shabbos. That's what it says in the Gemara. That's what it says in the Shulchan Aruch. That's not a psak. The psak is on Torah Shebaal Peh, and the ikam mesira of Torah Shebaal Peh was up until Ravina Rav Ashi. So maybe that's what the Rambam wrote in the Hakdama. He only wrote the Masorah of the Torah Shebaal Peh Midor Ledor Til Ravina Rav Ashi, because that's the end of a major period. That's Sof HaRoah. After that period, there's still Masorah of Torah Shebaal Peh, but not to the same extent as there was before. So that's why the Rambam writes in Chosh Mishpat in Simen Chof Hei. Simen Chof Hei is a very complicated Simen Chosh Mishpat, long, long shachs. That's the Simen Chosh Mishpat that talks about the sugi of Tor B'Shikol Adas. What's the din if the Bezin made a mistake in Psak and a din Torah? When are they permitted to back out from the Psak and say, give the money back to the other guy, we made a mistake? When do we say they leave the Psak and they have to pay from their pocket, they have to make good? And when do we say they leave the Psak and they don't have to pay? So it's a very complicated, very famous sugya, Tor B'Shikol Adas. The Rif has a long Arichas, and the Balamor has a long Arichas, and the Malchamas has a long Arichas. Everybody has a different Shita. And the Shach tries to explain everything. So the Ramor there in Simen Chof Hei adds on a couple of lines about making a mistake in Psak. So the Ramor writes, if Ramor lived in the 1500s in Krakow in Poland, so he writes, if somebody today in the 1500s, he's quoting earlier posthumous say like this, but he's repeating it, if somebody decides that what it says in the Tshuva Sagoinim is not correct. So he said, it's risky to take it on your own responsibility to disagree with the Goyim, so you should consult with other contemporaries, ask them what they think, and tell them what your rayas are, why you think the Goyim are wrong. So if after consulting, the others think like you, that the Goyim made a mistake, so he says, you have all the right in the world to paskan against the Goyim, if you're entitled to an opinion. Sometimes people with all of their associates all together, they're not entitled to an opinion. Okay, kindergarten. Sometimes they're talking about a kindergarten, so they're going to vote against the Shulchan Aruch. Sometimes adults belong in kindergarten. There's some rabbis who belong in kindergarten. Maybe pre-1A, before kindergarten. What's before kindergarten? Okay. But if the person is entitled to an opinion, so then he's permitted even to take on the Gaonim. But he says, whatever it says in the Gemara, that he can't paskin against the Gemara. So the Vilna Gaon says, why not? If in every generation the Halacha says, Ein lecha l'shef sheshop yamecha, yiftach bedor kishmo bedoro, you have a right to disagree with the Gaonim if you have rayas and you consult with others, so why can't you paskin against the Gemara? So he says, no, that's what it says in Bob Mitzir, Rabina Ravashi Seif Hayro. So what he means to say, that's the Bir Agro in Choshe Mishpat Simcha Chafei, commenting on that Ramah, that you can't argue with what it says in the Gemara. So what it probably means is that from the days of Moshe Rabbeinu until the days of Ravin Ravashi, there was Mesiras HaTorah Shebalpeh Balpeh, and they had the status, the full status of Chachmei HaMasoira. So therefore their Hayroah has a Chaloshem Hayroah. And after the days of Rabbi Rav Rashi, the Mesirah of the Torah Shebal Peh was weaker because it was being transmitted Meglim Yitoch HaKsav, a little bit Bal Peh than Meglim Yitoch HaKsav. So that's why the Chachamim passed that, and the later generations had a lower level, lower status of Chachmei HaMasorah, so they can argue with each other. Achreinim have a right to argue with Rishonim, Rishonim have a right to argue with Gaonim, Achreinim have a right to argue with Gaonim, but you can't argue with Amoraim. Amoraim have a right to argue with Tanoim. Anybody in that period. The Rambam writes in the beginning of Hilchas Mamrim, Ein lecha l'shefet shebiyamecha, from the days of Yeshua ben Nun till the days of Rabin Rabashi, anyone has a right to disagree with anybody else. Because if Mishnah there is bothered with Akasha in the beginning of Hilchas Mamrim, but the Gemara will often quote an Amoira as making a statement, a Memra, and then they ask, how can he say that? But it's against the Beferish of Mishnah, against the Beferish of Braisa. Then the Gemara says, Tiyufta, abgefrekt, abgeschlagen, he's wrong. Why is he upgefrekt? If the Rambam says Ein lecha l'shefet shebiyamecha, the Amoraim have a right to disagree with the Tanaim, so why is it a Tiyufta? So the Kesef Mishnah says, strictly speaking, it's not a Tiyufta. An Amora has a right to disagree with the Tanaim, but the Amoraim had an attitude that they're not going to argue with Tanaim unless there's a machlokes in the Tkufas HaTanaim. So even though the consensus in the days of the Tanaim, the majority opinion, was one way, so if our generation I hold like the minority, so that they'll adopt such a position. But to take on all the Tanoim, if there never was a Machloikah, so that they had an attitude that they're not going to do that. But strictly speaking, if they would want to, they could. That's how the Kesef Mishnah writes. Today, that became famous in the name of Rav Chaim Soloveitchik. People forgot that the Kesef Mishnah is printed already. A few years before Rav Chaim was born, the Kesef Mishnah is printed on the side of the Rambam. Everybody says it over today, the name of Rav Chaim, that Rav Chanan Wasserman, in the notes that they have from his shiurim and the Kovet shiurim, so they quote that Rabbi Chanan asked the kasha of Rab Chaim, that the Gemara says that Rab Tanahu Pali, Rab has the status of a Tana and he has the right to disagree with Tanoi. The Tosis in the beginning of Ksubis around Davav Davzayin Tosis shows from the Gemara that Rabbi Yochanan holds that that's not true, that Rab didn't have the right to disagree with Tanoi. So the Rabbi Hanan was bothered with Akasha. The Gemara has a klal and psak and erevim, mem dalid, mem vov. Whenever there's a machlekes, Rabbi Rabbi Yechanan, halachik Rabbi Yechanan. So if Rab holds that he has the right to disagree with Tanoim, Rabbi Yechanan holds that Rab didn't have the right to disagree. So Rabbi Rabbi Yechanan, halachik Rabbi Yechanan. So whenever Rab disagrees with Tanoim, we should say, like Rabbi Yechanan, that he has no right to disagree with Tanoim. So why do we always pass like Rab Tanahu Palik? Whenever Rab disagrees with the Tanoim, we always adopt his position, we always follow his position. So Rabbi Chanan asked this kasha of Rabbi Chaim. So Rabbi Chaim just answered a half a sentence. Even if Rav is an Amora, he has a right to disagree with the Tanaim. There is no such halacha. What is a din somewhere in Chumash that an Amora doesn't have a right to disagree with a Tanaim? From the days of Yeshua ben Nun till the days of Rabbi Rav Ashi, Al Pidin, everybody has the same status. The Amoraim adopted a policy, that's how the Kesef Mishnah says. It was an attitude they had. They're not going to disagree with all the Tanoim. If all the Tanoim say one way, Pe Echod one way, they're not going to take on all the Tanoim. If there was a Machloikis in the days of the Tanoim and the majority said one way, so then the Amoraim will decide to reverse, they have the right to reverse the Psak. But if all the Tanoim said one way, so they had the attitude they're not going to take everybody on. But if an Amora wants to disagree, he has a right to. So Rav Tanoim, he never accepted this upon himself. He felt free to disagree, even if all the Tanaim say Farkir. And whenever he disagrees, we talk a paskan like him. There is no such, not a halacha, that an Amora can't disagree with a Tana. That's the Shaila, the Rishonim raise a question. How could, the Gemara says, it's not really proper, it's not really permissible to write down the Mishnayos, so to write down the Gemara. So how do they write it down? They're in violation of the din of Dvarim Shebaal Peh, Yata Rasha Liyamim B'Ksav. Ksav Luchas HaDvarim Ha'ela, only write down Torah Shebichsav, Ki Alpi HaDvarim Ha'ela, because the Kriyas Bris is Alpi, the Torah Shebaal Peh, and the Torah Shebaal Peh is supposed to be transmitted Baal Peh. You're not allowed to have it B'Ksav. So how did the Chachamim permit the writing down of the Torah Shebaal Peh? So the Gemara says in the beginning of the second parak in the Temura, Eislas Lashem Efer Torah Secha. What do you mean, Eislas Lashem? We have a rule, Enkerach B'Yad Chachamim, Laka Dov Menatar B'Kum B'Yasei L'Doiris. Lo Hayro Asho, Is Yesh Kerach Laka Afil B'Kum B'Yasei. That's the whole sugya in Yevamos, and Av Peches, Peites, Av Tzadik, goes on, 2.5 Lat Gemara. So the Bavli comes to that Maskona. Yesh Kerach B'Yad Chachamim, Laka Dov Menatar B'Shei B'Yal Taseh. The Chachamim have the right to authorize us not to blow shofar on every Rosh Hashanah that falls out on Shabbos, and not to shake a lulav when the first day Yom Tov Sukkot falls out on Shabbos, and not to bring a korban Pesach, Gershon is garbei Pesach, not to put on tzitzis and a beged shal pishton. The shevi al tasa, they have a right l'doros, but the lakadov ben ator bikum v'yasei, that's only lohay rosho l'migda milsa. So how do they have the right over here to permit the writing down of the Torah Shebaal Peh? What, based on what? Eislas Lashem Efer Teresecha? But that's in contradiction to the rule, Enkerach B'Yad Chachamim, Lakadov Menator Bikum V'Yasei, L'Doiris, how can it be? So some Rishonim write that this whole comment is only an Asmachta. Ksav L'Chos HaDvarim Ha'el, Al-Pi HaDvarim Ha'el, the Torah Shebichsav, you're not allowed to say Baal Peh, Torah Shebaal Peh, you're not allowed to write it down. Some Rishonim want to say it's only Midirabban. Pashe Pshat Nigemara is not so. Pashe Pshat, there's not an Asmachta Midirabban. This is a real drasha gemara. It's not pshutu shal mikra, but it's a real drasha gemara deraisa. So other rishonim explain. Chacham Avad Yosef has a tshuva where he quotes all of these opinions. So some of the rishonim explain it's not an avera deraisa. It's not called kum v'yasei. The chachamim have no right to authorize the balabatim to drive to shul on Shabbos every single Shabbos in order to retain Jewish identity. That's kum v'yasei l'doris, you can't do that. Kum v'yasei l'hara, sure, they can. Lakar b'kum v'yasei l'doris, they have no right to. But that's because Chilul Shabbos is an avera. Here, it's not an avera. The mitzvah b'shlei Musa, there's a mitzvah of Talmud Torah. And the mitzvah b'shlei Musa of Talmud Torah is that Torah shebichsav should be transmitted b'chsav. Torah shebaal peh should be transmitted baal peh. If you'll write down the Mishnayos and the Gemara and the commentaries, Rashi and Tosis, and we'll learn everything mitoch haksav, we'll read a text. It's not that we're violating an aver, we're not fulfilling the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, Bishlei Musa. So it's not considered akira dov men ator bikum v'yasei, it's an akira b'shei b'al tase. So the Chachamim felt, Eislas Lashem efer teresecha, it's better to violate a little bit the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, Bishlei Musa, and have the whole Torah Shebaal Peh written down, otherwise chunks of the Torah Shebaal Peh will be lost. They'll be completely lost to Dori Dervis. So they felt under the circumstances, you have no choice. That's how Rashi points out on the Mishnah in Maseches Brochas, so the last parak in Brochas is Perak Haroya. So the Mishnah quotes that pasuk as Las Lashem Efer Teresecha in a different context. The Mishnah says that at a certain point in history, the Chachamim permitted greeting people using Shem Hashem. Hashem had it when Boaz met the Vayom Alakotzrim, Bruchim Atem Lashem. And they said to him, Hashem Imcha Gibor HaChoyel. So the Mishnah presents it as if this is an outright Aver, it's Motzi Shem Shemaim Levatola, that they say Shem Hashem, Hashem Imcha Gibor HaChoyel. He says to them, Bruchim Atem Lashem, Vayom Alakotzrim, Bruchim Atem Lashem. But Eislas Lashem Efer Teresecho, they allow us to violate an Aver Deraisa. Why? What? Yesh koach laka b'kum v'yasei. So Rashi comments on that Mishnah, Eislas Lashem Efer Teresecho, whenever there's a big Eis HaTzorech, the Chachamim are permitted to allow us to do Dova HaNira Osa, Dova HaNira Isa, something that looks like it's an Avera. Rashi says that Eislas Lashem never goes on a thing that's really an Avera. It's a Dova HaNira Isa. That's the word that Rashi adds on. Rashi was bothered, how can it be? It's Ein koach laka b'kum v'yasei. That's the sugya, unless lo hayro asho. But the Torah Shebaal Peh is always, it's already many centuries that we're printing since the days of Rabbi and Rav Ashi. The Talmud Bavli, the Mishnah is in the Talmud Bavli, and all the Mefarshim, everything is being transmitted mitoch haksav. So the answer is, the only time the Gemara is going to quote Teslas Lashem is when there isn't a real Issa, when it's Dabah Hanira Issa. It looks like it's Issa. Why is over there? When I greet a person and says, Ruchem Atem Lashem, and they tell me, Hashem Imcha Gibr HaChayel. That's Motzi Shem Shamayim Levat Tolem. That's all Levat Tolem. You want to give a bracha to a boss of a dom? The Sfardim do it all the time. The Ashkenazim hardly ever do it. But the Sfardim they're always saying Shem Hashem and giving brachas to everybody. Kind-hearted Sfardim, always blessing everybody, mentioning Shem Hashem. They're beautiful. So it's by the Ashkenazim, we get scared. So it's Dover Hanira Issa, but strictly speaking, it's not an Issa. So that's what the Gemara says. The Mishnah in the end of the first, the end of Brachas, the beginning of the last parak in Brachas, Mishnah says there was a point in history where it was assumed that it's improper. It was the Dovah Hanira Issa. The Chachamim encouraged everyone to be Mevorach Avera B'Shem, to be Rogel, to be Masker Shem Shemak. The people weren't mentioning Shem Hashem. So they encouraged everyone to do this, even though it's Dovah Hanira Issa, but it's not really an Issa. So the same over here, apparently Rashi is going to assume, the Gemara says in the beginning of the second parak in Temura, that the heter to write down the Torah Shebal Peh is also based on Eslas Lashem. So it also means it's only a Dover Hanira Issa. It's not a real Issa. Why isn't it a Dover Hanira Issa? It's not really an Avera. It's the fulfillment of the mitzvah of Talmud Torah Bishlei Musa is that we should transmit Torah Shebal Peh, Bal Peh. We should transmit Torah Shebichsav Mitoch Haksav. So it's not it's just the mitzvah Bishlei Musa won't be fulfilled, but if we're afraid that the big chunks of the Torah Shebal Peh will simply be lost because we're not going to write it down, so we have no choice. So we have to fulfill the mitzvah Shelo Bishlei Musa. We do a lot of things like that under difficult circumstances. We try to fulfill the mitzvah Shelo Bishlei Musa. It's better to do the mitzvah Shelo Bishlei Musa rather than not to do it at all. So it's not really Mata Renisa. That's a discussion that all the Rishonim ask. We recite Kriya Shema all the time, Baal Peh. You daven Mincha, you say Ashrei Baal Peh. Say Oz Yosher Baal Peh. Everybody says a lot of Psukim Baal Peh. So isn't this all in violation of Dvarim Shebichtav Yatar Asher Liyomer Baal Peh? Isn't this a violation? So Tosfos in different Mesichtos raises that issue. The Vilna Goyen in his commentary on Shulchan Aruch and on the side of the Gemara and the Hagoyes, the Agro, he prefers one answer that Tosfos gives. One of the suggestions that Tosfos gives is that this whole din of Dvaran Shebichtav Biyatav Asher Liyomer Al Peh only goes Lahotzi Acherim Midei Chayvosam. If I'm saying Kriya Shema for myself, I'm saying Ashrei for myself, I'm not saying it to be Moitzi, I'm not transmitting Torah to other people. This whole din in the Pasuk is when you're transmitting Torah to others, transmitting Torah Shebal Peh, in other words, Kriyas HaTorah, Kriyas HaMegillah, Kriyas HaHaftorah. When you're transmitting Torah Shebichtav to others, it should be Mitoch Haksav. When you're transmitting Torah Shebal Peh to others, it should be transmitted Bal Peh. So that's what the Rambam sounds like he holds, like that Vilna Gaon. The Rambam writes in the Hakdamah to the Mishneh Torah that in the days of the Tanoim, people would write Megillas Storim. They would write private notes of all of the traditions of the Torah Shebal Peh that they heard from their Rabbeim. And then when they would teach this and transmit it to the next generation, they would say it Baal Peh. What, they were fooling the next generation into believing that they memorized everything, they didn't have any notes? No, they told them they had notes. But for the purpose of giving the Shiur, when you transmit Torah, Shebal Peh, should be transmitted Baal Peh. There's no Avera to keep private notes. The Rambam seems told that's at the Gama. That's not giving to others. When you give the Shiur should be given Baal Peh. And then the Gemara said, but we give the Shiur Mitoch Haksav, we all read a text and everybody's reading carefully. That's Eslas Lashem, however you understand the Eslas Lashem. So that's what the Vilna Goyen holds. He holds that that's the best teretz of all. He brings a raya from the Gemara, and Tainus has such a Lashem. That only when you want to be Motzi Acher Midei Chayvosim, then there's a din of Dvaran Shebichtav, Yatar Asher Liyomer Al Peh Lahotzi Acher Midei Chayvosim. But if everybody's saying Kriya Shema on their own, then there's no problem. Then everybody can recite it Baal Peh. Rav Soloveitchik pointed out that he claimed that it says in the Midrashim, I didn't research it, I don't know where the Midrashim are. He claimed this is Mefurish in the Midrashim and it's Alpi Halacha, it's not Alpi Drush, that the role of Moshe Rabbeinu by the Luchas Rishonis and Luchas Shnias was different. On the occasion of the Luchas Rishon, is Moshe Rabbeinu was a shliach lohelochas hakidushin. The Gemara understands that the Lucha is the Shnei Luchas Abris, the Luchas Ha'Evin, were comparable to Kesef Kiddushin. That our Kodesh Baruch Hu had a relationship with Bnei Yisrael like a marriage. That's the whole theme of Shir Hashir. And the Luchas were the Kesef Kiddushin. So on the occasion of the Luchas Rishon, is Moshe Rabbeinu was a shliach lohelocha, till he delivers the Luchas to Bnei Yisrael, so the Kiddushin is not Chal. So he smashed the Luchas, it was never delivered, so it was never Chal. So Rashi quotes the Medrash, Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to spare the Jewish people from having the punishment of an Eshus Isha Zinsa, because man, you don't deliver the Luchas, so the Kiddushin wasn't Chal. But on the occasion of the Luchas Shnias, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, this time you won't be able to do that trick. You're going to serve now as a Shlich LeKabbalas HaKiddushin. So the minute I'm going to engrave, the first time, Moshe Rabbeinu didn't bring stone from this earth. The pasuk says, "Haluchas Maisel came heim of Amichta Michta Belekimhu." Choros Haluchas. Where did the material come from? It didn't come from this earth. It came from Mitachas Kisya Kavod. The material on which the Aseres Adibus were written was some heavenly divine material. So Kodesh Baruch Hu gave Moshe Rabbeinu the luchas with the ksav and everything, and then Moshe Rabbeinu had to deliver it. Kozmani doesn't deliver it, so the kiddushin doesn't get off the ground. The second time around, Moshe Rabbeinu brought up Solocha, Shnei Luchas Avonim Karishen, V'chasafti HaLochos, Sadvarim. I'm going to engrave it. My Kodesh Baruch engraved it, so there was already the Kabbalah's case of HaKiddushin, because the Luchas were regular material from this world that belonged to Moshe Rabbeinu. Kodesh Baruch engraves it, that's like putting the ring into a box. So it's already, the box belongs to Moshe Rabbeinu, the box belongs to Bnei Yisrael. So the Kiddushin was Chal already. So the second time around, if Moshe Rabbeinu would have smashed the Luchas, it would not have affected any change. The Kiddushin had already taken place when HaKadosh Baruch Hu engraved the Ksav on the Luchos Shnias.
Regarding what the Gra holds like Taisus, on Erev Shabbos, when we say Kiddush, the Yom HaShishi, that paragraph, your big Motzi people with the Sushim, does that pertain to that?
I don't think the other people are yotze with anything. I'm not yotze anything either. When you say Yom HaShishi, you don't have to say Yom HaShishi.
Can you say that
if they want to be yotze, but what are they? They're not yotze with the Yom HaShishi. They're yotze with their bracha. I say Yom HaShishi. They don't have to pay attention to that. Even if they do pay attention, but they don't have to be yotze anything. I don't think I'm teaching Torah to the public by saying I'm mumbling Yom HaShishi.
What about the saying by Chulu three times? And people are not going to say by Chulu three times once after that anyway.
No.
Then the person makes the issues mostly the person and the second by.
No, the meaning is that Sach HaKol that should be recited three times. Usually, when you have a Yontav, it's not recited three times. Only recited twice. No, I don't think so. It's not a meaning that each and every person has to say three times. And the Siddur should appear three times. It appears three times. Should be recited three times. I don't think he's Motzi anybody. Motzi everybody with the Broche. Not Motzi them with the Yom HaShishi. On Shabbos morning, he's Motzi everybody with Shabbat and Yisrael. On Shabbos, Ochas, Shabbos, Lakash. It's not Motzi himself either. There's nothing to be Yotze. The meaning is, you recite Pesukim. So Vayichulu is also meaning you recite Pesukim.
That's the lashon of the Rambam in Hilchos Shabbos. When he talks about Kiddush, he says it's a minhag kol Yisrael to say v'yechulu. So that's dafka what Rebbe said. It's just a minhag. But does minhag Yisrael become a din?
It does become a din, but it's not a din that everybody has to be yotze with it. The minhag is that it's recited. Okay, so someone recited it. He's reciting for himself. He has a nice voice, he sings it out loud. He wants everybody to hear his niggun. But he's not being, I don't think he's being moitzi everybody with it by chul. The pasuk says, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu finished teaching Moshe Rabbeinu kol HaTorah, v'hika chaloso, v'yitena Moshe kachaloso l'dabar ito, the first pasuk in Sheni. So he gives Moshe Rabbeinu luchas ha'evan, and Moshe Rabbeinu goes down from Har Sinai. So the pasuk spells kechaloso without a vav. We would have spelled it kechaloso lamed vav tavav. Pasuk spells it kechaloso, missing a vav. So Rashi quotes in the Medrash a comment on the word kechaloso, why it's missing alone. So there's a another medrash. Rashi quotes the second medrash also. Davarach makala miskashet es b'chof dalet kishutim amurim b'sefer Yeshaya. In the beginning of Yeshaya, I think at Perigimel. So the pasuk lists off 21 tachshitim that the kala wears. Then a few psukim later lists another three. So you add on 21 or 3 is 24. An awful lot of tachshitim. An awful lot of tachshitim. Well, how many is it possible? Two earrings and a nose ring. How many rings can you have? You only have 10 fingers. You have to put on the toes also, and necklaces all over the place, okay? And the hair. It's not easy to figure out where the 24 tachshit. The Tanakh lists off all the 21, and then a few psukim later, another three.
Bracelets,
yeah. So just like a kala traditionally hasten Tanakh and Sefer Yeshaya, as 24 tachshitim, so too a Talmud Chacham should be miskashet with 24 tachshitim, which is the 24 tachshitim, the 24 Sifri HaTanach. Talmud Chacham is supposed to know Sifri HaTanach. Doesn't just mean you should know the names of the Svarim. You should know the names of the Svarim. That's number one. You should know the names of the Svarim. But you should know what it says inside. The big Talmid HaChamim, Taka in every generation, they always knew Tanach. Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky not only knew Tanach, if you give him any pasuk in Tanach, he would figure out what the trap was. He knew the secret to the trap. He would tell you what the trap is supposed to be on that pasuk. And in his Sefer Emes Liakov on Chumash, he sometimes explains why the trap is like this, why the trap is like that. That's a trick to know the secret to Tanach. Moshe Feinstein used to take walks in the summertime. He used to take with him a little Tanach, in Chazer Tanach. Like a Mishnais, he would Chazer Bal Peh. In Tanach, he would Chazer by looking into the Tanach. Big Talmid HaChachamim Taka knew Tanach. Not just knew the names of the 24 Svarim, they knew the contents of the 24 Svarim as well. I was at a wedding a few years ago. One of the boys who used to come to the shir, so he made a siyum on Chof Dalet Sifri Tanach, covered his by the Chosin's dish. Instead of making, some boys make a siyum on a Mesichta, Ksubis, on a shorter Mesichta. So this guy made a siyum on all the Chof Dalet Sifri Tanach. Okay, the Kala, there's such another medrash. Just like the Kala should have 24 Tachshitim, the Chosin should also have 24 Tachshitim. So his 24 Tachshitim were the Chof Dalet Sifri Tanach. Something to keep in mind. We're supposed to learn Tanakh.
Is someone yield say nowadays with Hunter Ben Otam, but just by learning Gemara?
The Gemara, the Rabbi Natam says on the Gemara in Kiddushin, the Gemara says, Liyoli Mishalish Yishalish Adam Shnoisa, Shlish B'mikra, Shlish B'mishna, Shlish B'talmud. You should have, you should learn a little, every day you should learn a little bit Tanakh, and a little bit Mishnais and a little bit Gemara. So there's a fundamental machlok zarishanim there. So the Gaonim, many of the Gaonim, Tosis quote, many of the Gaonim say, every day you have to be kaveh itam la Torah, a little bit Ashmek Tabik in Tanakh, a little bit in Mishnais, a little bit in Gemara. Then the rest of the day you can do whatever you want. So the rest of the day you want to learn Tanakh, you want to learn Mishnais, you want to learn Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, you want to learn Gemara, whatever you want. So that's what Tosis quotes from the Gaonim, that we recite Birchas HaTorah, and then we recite the Balei HaTosis, Rashi and the Balei HaTosis had the meaning, they said Birchas HaTorah after Mekadosh HaShimcha Barabim, before they said Karbonis. So they said Birchas HaTorah, and then they said Psukim from the Chumash Karbonis, so Yoytze Shlish B'Mikra, then they said Ezel Mekoyman, that's Shlish B'Mishnah, then they had Braisa to Rabbi Shmuel Shlish B'Talmud. Now the rest of the day, they're free to learn whatever they want, or to go to work and do whatever they want. And there's no din that you have to be balanced in your learning. But the Rambam and many other Rishonim do not understand the Gemara like that. They understand Shlish B'Mikra, Shlish B'Mishnah, Shlish B'Talmud. It's not a din. In Kriya Sitam Latar, you have to be Kaveya a little bit every day, Mikra, Mishnah, and Gemara. It's a din that your learning should be balanced. A person shouldn't spend all of his time learning Kachin, or spend all of his time learning Zroim, or only spend all of his time learning Tanakh. He should be balanced. Everything should be balanced. So the Gemara seems to understand. The Rambam writes, if a person has a job, he has to work for a living, so he only has 9 hours a day to learn. When does he work? Only has 9 hours a day to learn. So the 9 hours a day that he has, Nebuch, the poor guy only has 9 hours to learn. So 3 hours he should learn Tanakh, and 3 hours he should learn Halacha. Mishnah means Psak Halacha. 3 hours he should learn Gemara to understand why the Halacha was so and how we established Halacha. So it means the learning should be balanced. That's what the Tosfos quotes Rabbeinu Tam, that when you study Talmud Bavli, the Gemara says in Sanhedrin in the third parak, why is it called Talmud Bavli? So the Poshut, the reason is because it was composed in Eretz Bavel. That's the name of the country. There's Talmud Yerushalmi, which is composed in Yerushalayim, but Talmud Rabbi Yechon and the Talmud Bavli was composed in Bavli. The Gemara says no, a different reason. It's called Talmud Bavli because it's Belula, B'mikra, B'mishnah, B'gemara. It's everything blended in together. So what's the relevance of that blending in together? So Rabbeinu Tam says that's an allusion to this din, that your learning is supposed to be Shlish B'mikra, Shlish B'mishnah, Shlish B'talmud. So if you study Talmud Bavli, your learning will be balanced. You have it doesn't mean you learn 5 lines a day. It means you learn 5 blot a day, you learn 10 blot Gemara a day, whatever. You learn a lot of Gemara. They write in their biographies that when Rav Kook learned in Valozhin, he used to cover 60 blot Gemara a day, 6 of. He wasn't the only one. There were others also learned. They went quickly. So if you learn 60 blot a day, even if you learn 5 blot a day, your learning will be balanced. You will have covered a lot of Tanakh. You will have covered a lot of halacha lemaise. Mishnah means psak halacha. Then you will have covered a lot of Talmud, means understanding how the din was established based on the psukim, and how to paskan, how to be machriya halacha lemaise. The learning is supposed to be balanced. Today, let's say if a person sits and reads Encyclopedia Talmudit, that would be a nice balance. Whenever you get to a Gemara, you should study Encyclopedia Talmudit, the essay that he has. That's a nice balanced learning. They'll give you a whole presentation of all the sources and all the shittas and way we pasken la halacha. That's what we assume. Most assume that shlish b'mikra, shlish b'mishnah, shlish b'talmud means the learning should be balanced learning. There are some people who are only experts in Noshim and Ezekin. Ask Mishael, Kiddush and Avdolah, they're totally lost. Other people, they just know Mishnah Brura. Noshim and Ezekin, they don't know anything. Other people only know Kachim. They don't know Noshim and Ezekin. The Halacha says he's supposed to be balanced. Everything should be balanced. I remember at Rabbi Moshe Feinstein's funeral, so one of the Maspidim was Rabbi Alpert Zichron Lavracha, who died soon after Rabbi Moshe. He was a very close Talmud of Rabbi Moshe Feinstein. So I remember what he said at the Hesped. He said there's a din in Chumash Vayikra that a Kohen who's a Balmum is possible to do Hakrovas Hakrabonis. So one of the Balimumen that appears and mentioned in Chumash is Sarua. What does it mean, Sarua? So the Mishnayis and Bchoris have a list of all the Mumen by Behemoth and has a list of all the Mumen by Odom. So Sarua is when you have two limbs that are supposed to be, what do you call them? When you have two arms, not balanced. Symmetrical. Let's say the two nostrils are supposed to be similar to each other, the two eyes, the two ears, the two arms. So if one arm is obviously longer than the other, or one foot is one leg is longer than the other, one foot is bigger than the other, one ear is bigger than one eye, the eyes are not the same size, but one is 3 times as big as the other one, that's called the sarua. Even though there's nothing wrong, this eye is good, that eye is good, but together they're supposed to be symmetrical and not symmetrical. So he said he met, Rabbi Alper Zichron Lavracha said he met many Talmidei Chachamim in his lifetime. Some of them were great Goinim in Halacha, Psak, but they didn't really know Gemara so well. Some were great Goinim in Gemara, they didn't know how to deal with the Shulchan. Some were experts in Yeridaya, they didn't know Chosh Mishpat. Some were experts in Chosh Mishpat, they didn't know Orech Chaim. Some people were experts in Bid'onim Lamokim, but they were weak in Bid'onim Chaver. Others were big Bali Musar in Bid'onim Chaver, they didn't really know Bid'onim Lamokim so well. He says the only one who was balanced in all the areas that he met was Rabbi Moshe Feinstein. He always viewed the other people as sarua, that a person is supposed to be balanced in everything. When you grow in Torah, in Yirat Shamayim, you should grow in all the areas at the same time. Not this arm keeps on growing, getting longer, 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 kochim, tara, zroim, whatever, and the rest of the body stays the same size. So that was what he said about Rabbi Moshe. That was the only person that he met in all of his life who was balanced in all of his learning. That's what the Gemara wants. Shlish b'mikra, shlish b'mishnah, shlish b'talmud. The way it's assumed. Not like the Goyim. Goyim say it's a din of kviya sitim latar. Every day you have to learn a little bit mikra, a little bit mishnah, a little bit talmud. Then the rest of the day you can spend on learning whatever you want. And the pshat that most of the Rishonim learn is not so. It means that your learning should be balanced. All the learning should be balanced.
The Lechem Mishnah assumes that it's a machlokas Rambam, Rabbeinu Tam, But the Torah Tmima in Parshas Veschanan wants to say that Rabbeinu Tam in principle really agrees with the Rambam. And when Rabbeinu Tam said you can be Yotze with Shas Bavli, that's only for him and his elite Talmidim who could extrapolate the three areas.
Only his Shia.
Only his
Shia. Those in his Shia.
Yeah, but for the average Balabatim, they had to do the balanced approach. And the Ran and Avodah Zarah, because the Gemara in Kedushin is repeated in Avodah Zarah Yotet, the Ran says it's lav dafka shlish. It's whatever is roi for each area. And the Beis Yosef in Hilchos Tamat Torah, Reishman Vav Nirdeya, and also the Tosis Yom Tov on the bottom of the Rosh and Avodah Zarah quote this Ran, that it's lav dafka shlish. It's whatever is roi for that area. So how would Rebbe take that area? Is it, how do you be balanced, but how do you know when it's, if it's not literally thirds like the Ran, what is appropriate? It's very
the Rambam writes also this shlish, this program, one third, one third, one third. That's when a person starts to learn. Then after many years, the person already covered everything. So if the Rambam says if he just learned Gemara, so his learning will be balanced. He already is balanced. It's when he starts to learn, he should see to it that the learning should be balanced. That's what they're saying, balanced. That's the whole verb. The learning should be done in a balanced fashion. A major change that occurred from the Luchas Rishonis to the Luchas Shnias appears in Shvi, that when Moshe Rabbeinu comes down from Harsinai, this after the Luchas Shnias, Vahibur Adis Moshe Mehasinai Shnei Luchas Vahidis Biyad Moshe. Moshe Lo Yoda Ki Koran Or Pana Bedabro Ito. He didn't realize that when he got the Luchas Shnias, his face was shining. Karnei Hoid. He seems from the Chumash, the simple reading. He didn't have the Karnei Hoid after the Luchas Rishonis, only after the Luchas Shnias. What changed over here? So usually, what's usually assumed is, what changed was, this was the Chiddush of the Torah Shebal Peh. By Luchas Rishonis, everything was going to be Torah Shebechzab. So it's a text. So there's nothing within the Talmud Chacham. Everything is in a text, and everybody looks in the Luchas, and you see, Kol HaTorah Kulam. And when the Chiddush of the Luchas Shnias was, it's going to be Ksav Luchas Adram Ho'el, it's going to be a little bit Bechzab. There's going to be a little bit Torah Shabbat Peh. So there's a lot of learning that's contained within the Talmud Chacham that he has to transmit by Masaira to the Talmidim. So because he has so much Torah contained within him, so that's why the face of Moshe Rabbeinu was shining. That represents the Karnei Hoid, represent the Torah Shabbat Peh. There's different Midrashim where they discuss Me'echan Zachem Moshe the Karnei Hoid. Where did he get the Karnei Hoid from? So one of the midrashim has a lashon mid yoshin ishtar bekulmas, when the ink that was left over in the pen, when he was writing the Sefer Torah in Har Sinai, not clear that he was writing the Sefer Torah now or later, but that's what the Medrash says. When he was writing the Sefer Torah, so he was dipping the pen into the ink, so there was a little ink left over. So from that ink, he was zeichet to the Karnei Hoid. What exactly does that mean? What is that referring to? So some of the rishonim interpret what it means is that it says that Moshe Rabbeinu was onav miyod, he was very humble. So the word onav in Parshas Baaloscha is spelled ayin nun yud vav. In the Chumash it's spelled without a yud. So Moshe Rabbeinu felt very uncomfortable. That's how some Rishonim say. Felt very uncomfortable writing that pasuk, so he left out the yud. What do you mean? The Baruch Shalom dictated to him, write a yud, and he left out the yud. It's a strange pshat. So the ink that was left in the kulmas, the yoshin is, that means he felt uncomfortable writing the whole word, so because of his humility, that's why he was echad to Karnei Hoid. It's a strange interpretation. So Rav Soloveitchik used to say over in the name of the Balatanya, I think he said it's in the collection of drushas of the Balatanya, Doshin Ishtar Bekulmas means when you have any great person, he has so much within him, he can't ever succeed in transmitting everything to the Talmidim. Moshe Rabbeinu had so much Torah Shabbat Peh, had so much to explain and so much to transmit. If he would talk for 40 years straight, all day and all night, he wouldn't be able to give over everything that he got from HaKadosh Baruch Hu at Har Sinai. So he transmitted as much as he could. And I think that's all. So there was so much within him that was contained within him that he couldn't transmit. So it was just plotzing out from his face. That's the Dioshen Ishtar Bukum. It doesn't mean literally the ink that was left in the pen. It means when a person is full of ideas, full of chokhmah, and he can't write everything. You write 1,000 books, he can't write everything that you have to say. He had so much within him that he wasn't able to transmit. So that's what it refers to, the Yoshen Ishtar B'Kulmas. But it's interesting the way the Psukim say, how do we know that Moshe Rabbeinu didn't hoodwink us? Maybe he made up the whole religion. Maybe he was a very charismatic individual, and he was a good speaker, and he took everybody in, and he fooled everybody. So the answer is, he was not a charismatic person. He was not a good speaker. He was a kvat bet, kvat loshen. He stammered. He didn't speak well. That's the Drosha Saran writes like that. Why did the Rebbe Shlom pick a person that doesn't speak well? Why didn't he get a good speaker? Wouldn't it be covered on Hidur Mitzvah, covered on Torah, to get a guy who's a good speaker? So the Ran says in the Drosha, if he would have been a good speaker, then there would be a hashash that maybe the people believed him because of the sweet talk. So Rebbe Shlom Davke took a person who was not a good speaker, and when he said the halachas, he didn't have the kvat peh, kvat loshen. When he was talking about the weather and the politics and the baseball game and everything else, what the latest news in Egypt and Eretz Yisrael and so on, then he would be a kvat peh. But when he said over the dinim, Israel kim yanane bekol l'shem Moshe, HaKadosh Baruch Hu spoke through the mouth of Moshe Rabbeinu, it was clear to all the people that v'shchina medaberes mitokran, it wasn't his own voice. He wasn't a good speaker. So that was one simon, that it was clear to the people that he wasn't speaking in his own voice. It was Shechina Medaberes Mitochran. And then it says, this is a historical tradition. When Moshe Rabbeinu came down from Har Sinai, they had these carne hot, so the people were petrified. They were scared out of their wits. They thought they were going to get burnt up alive. When he said over the dinim, it didn't bother them. When he finished saying the dinim and he started commenting on the weather and on the politics and on the baseball games, then they were afraid they were going to get burnt up. So he had to put on a masveh, he had to wear a mask on his face. But when he was saying over the dinim, it didn't bother them. So the people saw b'chush, he's not making something up over here. When he said over the dinim in the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, word for word and letter for letter, they could take it. And when he finished saying the dinim, then they couldn't take it. So this is how the people knew at that time that this is really direct Torah min HaShemayim. Yeah, various mitzvahs in the parsha. One of the early mitzvahs is to have a kiyur, that the kohanim have to have kiddush adayim v'raglayim before they do avodah. If they do avodah b'li kiddush adayim v'raglayim, it's going to be posel. B'li kiddush adayim v'raglayim, the avodah is posel. The Rambam understood, the Gemara says in the end of brachas, that when you wake up in the morning, you have to wash until it's time to say a bracha. So you look in the Shulchan Aruch, they quote three different opinions. What is this takonis and tilis yadayim with the bracha? What is it all about? So they quote, the Rambam's opinion is that it's a din for tefillah. Just like you require kiddush yadayim viraglayim for hakrovas hakarbonah, so before you daven shachris mincha ma'ariv, you have to have netilis yadayim. They never made a takonis yod raglayim, but kiddush yadayim you have to have. You have to wash with a cup of water on your hands before Shachris Mincha Marav and recite the bracha. So many other Rishonim disagree with the Rambam. They hold it's not so. So that's why we don't say a bracha. But more correct is you really should wash your hands before you daven Shachris Mincha and Marav. Usually it's assumed that the Takonis, the Tilis Yadayim in the morning, has to do with Ruach Ror and has to do with the Riyas the Neshama, when the person wakes up, he's like a new person. So when people before you daven Mincha Ma'ariv, those reasons don't apply. But in Shulchan Aruch, they recommend one should be machmer for the Rambam's opinion, really to wash your hands before. According to the Rambam, you wash with a bracha. With a kli. You're supposed to wash with a kli. Before davening Mincha and before davening Ma'ariv also. That's carryover from over here. Most people, when they wake up in the morning, they wash until Tillis Yadayim. And they say, I'm until Tillis Yadayim then. And then, when they get to shul, so they daven later, so they're not really, the broch on until Tillis Yadayim, the washing of the hands, is not really related to the davening. That's why Rabbi Kiveger writes in his Haoris on the Derech HaChaim Siddur, they were contemporaries. The Derech HaChaim Siddur was written, it's like a Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, like a Chayam, it was written by the author of the Nesivos. So they have, Rabbi Kivega has Heoris on the Derech HaChaim Siddur. So he writes that his personal practice was that when he washes his hands in the morning until his Yadayim three times, he wouldn't say the Brocha. Because he had to put on his shoes, he had to get dressed. And then right before he was about to daven, he would wash his hands with a cup, once on the right hand, once on the left hand, and then say the Brocha on until his Yadayim to satisfy the Rambam's opinion that the Tillis Yadayim should really be as a Hachana for the davening. I the Shabbos, but according to the other Rishonim, the Baruch Anatilas Yadayim is because you're a Brias Neshama, or because of the Rach Ra. So the Baruch is Lacharas Yosam already. You already washed your hands an hour ago, or half an hour ago, a long time ago.
Can't you make a Berkas HaShavach after you've already done the
Vaisen? The question is, how long after? How long after? Sometimes half an hour later. How long after? So that's some find Rabbi Kivega's practice objectionable. Somebody wrote a writer in the Beis Yitzchok attacking Rabbi Kivega. They didn't give Rabbi Kivega an opportunity to respond. They should allow letters to the editor. Yeah.
Kolumbigan is davening after he does the test dive in the morning in his room and then continue and then some continuation. Was he bringing the shachar the marshal of the room?
Maybe. Anyway, that's what it's based on. Then you have the din of Shemen Mishchas Kodesh. Torah tells Moshe Rabbeinu how he has to make Shemen HaMishcha. Shemen HaMishcha was for the purpose of being Mikadosh Kol HaKeilim Shasa Moshe Mishichasa Mikad Shasa. You should do Mishicha B'Shemen HaMishcha, the Shulchan, the Menorah, the Mizbach HaKtaris, the Mizbach HaOyla, the Kir, the Kano, all the Keilim. Kol HaKeilim Shasa Moshe Mishichasa Mikad Shasa. Mikan v'yelach, the Gemara says it's not so. This is only a special din. Mikan v'yelach avidosam achan chosam. So what do you use the Shemen HaMishcha for? So the Shemen HaMishcha was reserved to be Moshech Kohanim Gedoyler. Towards the end of the Vaisrishon period, so the Psukim say in Divrei Yomim that they were goynes. At the same time, they were goynes the luchos. Yoshua Melech was goynes the luchos in the basement of the Beis HaMikdash. It was also goynes the Tzinsenes Amon and the Shemen HaMishcha. So the whole Tkuvas by Shein, there was no Shemen HaMishcha. So how do they have any Kohanim Gedoylim? So the Gemara explains in Maseches Yuma that they had a tradition based on Pesukim Mechumish. There are two ways to make a person a Kohen Gadol, either with Mishicha B'Shemen HaMishcha or through Meruba B'Godim. He wears the Shmoyne B'Godim as opposed to a Kohen Hedyot, it only wears Dalet B'Godim, and he does the Avodah wearing the Shmoyne B'Godim. So the whole Tkuvas by Shein, he only had a Meruba B'Godim. Is there a difference between this kind of Kohen Gadol and that kind of a Kohen Gadol? Is there a difference between a Kohen Gadol of the Bais Rishon and a Kohen Gadol of Bais Sheni? He's a Kohen Gadol Idei Meshicha, and he's only a Kohen Gadol Idei Meruah B'Godim. So the Mishnah says in the end of the first parak in Megillah, Ein Bein, you have a whole series of Mishnais. Ein Bein Kohen HaMashuach B'Shem Menei Mishcha, the Kohen Meruah B'Godim, ala par habo al kol ha-mitzvahs. That's the Shaila, what does that mean? So Rashi translates on that Gemara. Rashi has it a few places in Shas. Par habo al kol ha-mitzvahs means the par helam dovish al tzibur. You look in Parshas Vayikra. It says if the Bez Nagodol made a mistake in Psak and the Rav Hatzibur violates an Issa Koris because of this mistake in Psak of the Bez Nagodol, so the Bez Nagodol has to bring a par helam dovish al tzibur. So the Psuk can say a chumish that you have to have the Kohen Gadol does the avoida. So Rashi learns Pshat in the Mishnah. Par habo kol ha-mitzvah is the Kohen Gadol who does that avod is only the Kohen HaMashiach. But if it's the Kohen Meruba B'Godim, the whole Bais Sheni period, you couldn't bring a Par Halam Dovash Al Tzibur. That's what Rashi writes. And that's based on the Pesukim in Vayikra, that it says that you need a Kohen HaMashiach to be Makrib, the Karbonis, over the Par Halam Dovash Al Tzibur. Tosfos disagrees with Rashi, there in Megillah, Bekama Mekaymus and Shas, other places. Tosfos says there is no such din. The only time you need a Kohen Gadol is on Yom Kippur. You don't need a Kohen Gadol for any other Karbonis. In the Pesukim it says, Lokach HaKohen HaMashiach. So Tosfos says, it's not to be taken literally. What do you mean that? They say, that's what it says in Torah's Kohanim. The Sifro says on that Pesuk that it doesn't mean it. So why does it say it? I don't know. So Tosfos says, there can't be Pshat in the Mishnah. You don't need a Kohen Gadol at all. Kohen Hedyot can be Makar of the Parhal Medav Shel Tzibur. So what does it mean, Parah Abba Kol HaMitzvahs? They says, no, there's a din of a par kohen mashiach. It's a different din, also in Vayikra. That if a person is mechal, person, a private person is mechal Shabbos b'shogeg, he brings kizbo siruf. The kohen gadol is mechal Shabbos b'shogeg, he cannot be miskaper b'kizbo siruf. He has to bring a par kohen gadol, par habo kol ha-mitzvah. So that's only if he was a kohen mashuch b'shemen ha-mishcha. If he's a kohen gadol from the tkufas by sheni, he's only a kohen through a kohen gadol through meruva begadim. So he doesn't have that institution of Par Kohen Gadol. So there are really two different levels of the Kohen Gadol. One is slightly higher than the other, slightly different. So that's why there's a Gemara in Nazir. The Mishnah Nazir talks about Tumas Kohanim and Tumas Nazir. The Nazir and the Kohen and the Kohen Gadol, they're not allowed to be Mitami L'meis. But a Kohen is allowed to be Mitami to design Kroivim. The Kohen Gadol and the Nazir are not even permitted to be Mitami to design Kroivim. The only time they're allowed to be Mitami, the Nazir and the Kohen Gadol, is a Meis Mitzvah. But let's say a Nazir and a Kohen are walking down this highway. There's nobody else in sight. Nobody has a cell phone. They find a Jewish dead body. Mamish a Meis Mitzvah, literally. They'll stand there for hours. No one's going to pass by. This mamish a Meis Mitzvah. So someone has to be mitam. Let's say it's not necessary for both of them. If you need both to bury him, so you need both. So they both have to be mitam. What if it's possible for one of the two to take care of the kvur? So the Mishnah says, let the Kohen Hedyot be mitame to the Meis Mitzvah. Why should the Nazir of the Kohen Gadol be mitame? Nazir of the Kohen Gadol, his Issa Tumah is machamer than the Kohen Hedyot. Right. Kohen Hedyot is mutter to be mitame to design Kroivim, and the Nazir of the Kohen Gadol not allowed to. So the Mishnah has, the Gemara has a funny case. What if you have, at the end of the period of the Bais Rishon, Yoshiyahu HaMelech was going as the Shemen HaMishcha, you have a Kohen Gadol who is Meshuach B'Shemen HaMishcha, and now he retires. Now you have a new young Kohen Gadol who was just appointed Merubah B'Gadim, that they're both walking on the highway, the Meshuach B'Shemen HaMishcha and the Merubah B'Gadim, they bump into a Meis Mitzvah. Which one of the two should be Mitam of the Meis? They have exactly the same dinim. They both are Kohen Gadol, they're both not permitted to be Mitamit to design Kerevim, only permitted, both of them are just permitted to be Mitamit to the Meis Mitzvah. So the Gemara says no, but the Kohen Meshuach B'Shemen HaMishcha has a slightly higher level of Kedusha. The Kohen Merubah B'Gadim, Maharaya, the Mishnah says in Megillah, Ein Bein. Kohen Moshuach B'Shemen HaMishcha, the Kohen Merubah B'Gadim, Ela Par Habar Kol HaMitzvah, whatever that means, according to Rashi, according to Tosfos. So the Gemara says, let the Kohen Merubah B'Gadim be Mitami to the Meis Mitzvah, and not the Kohen who's Moshuach B'Shemen HaMishcha, because one has a slightly higher level of Kedusha than the other one. Then the Torah has a din of K'toiris. The Ktoris, what you bring on the Mizbah HaKtoris every day, being a little bit in the morning, a little bit in the evening. HaKtoris, HaKtoris every day. So the Brisa says in Krisis, it's quoted in the Siddur, Ilahoyen Nosim HaKurtum Shal Dvash, if they would have mixed in a little bit of honey, Ein Aram Yochalamim Pnei Recho, the smell would be fantastic. Why don't you mix in dvash? The pasuk says that the ktoris should be rokach ma'aser rekech. You should mix in additional things. Rokach ma'aser rekech means mix in additional things, whatever is necessary. And there were yud aleph samamonim plus a couple of other things. That's the, all the other things are included in rokach ma'aser rekech. So if a kurtum shel dvash will enhance the smell, the fragrance of the smell, so why not mix it in? Let it be included in rokach ma'aser rekech. So it says not Ella Bipnaim Abraz Nesha Toromiki Khosabachadvashla Saktir Mimenu Ishala Shamin Arlatu. Im dosimodash psolo. If you mix in dvash, you passel it. So the Minchas Chinuch writes he's not sure what that means, and dosim bodvash psolo. Does it mean puzzle? The whole Ktoris is puzzle. If you be makriv it, you just won't be yotze because it's puzzle. But he say, no, it's not puzzle. You're not allowed to be makriv it because sorvachadvashla saktir mimenu ishala shem. But if you will be mocked to the Ktoris that has the Dvash in it, you will have fulfilled the mitzvah of Ktoris and you will have violated Avera of Sora Dvash. But it doesn't mean Psolo, that you're not Yotze the Mitzvah. You're Yotze the Mitzvah and the Host Gechaptan Avera at the same time.
Don't you need Shana Kasub Lakim?
Okay, okay. So that's what the Minchas Chinuch writes, he's not sure.
Why is he not sure? I mean, wouldn't you, is that the way we would read it? That it's you, the ksoris is kosher, you just didn't aver it. That usually when we say it's pasul, we say the inherent process or
maisa. I'm not sure. Psola means that the ksoris is pasul, or pasul means you can't use it because you'll do an aver. But if you go ahead and you use it, you will have done an aver, but it'll still be kosher. Right? So he's not sure. So they quote from Avavala Soloveitchik that this suffix of the Minhas Chinuch is two opinions in the Rambam and Hilchas Kiddush. The Rambam quotes the Gemara in Bava Basra that the Gemara says you can only use for Kiddush such wine that's royal nasach agabi hamizbeach. So the Gemara says, what does that mean? Let's say I take grapes and I squeeze it out. So that's not royal in Asach Hagabi HaMizbeach. The wine has to be Nesach Sheikh al Hashem, has to be intoxicating. Grape juice is not intoxicating, just squeeze it out. But that's kosher for Kiddush. The Gemara quotes the Memra, squeeze out a cluster of grapes on Erev Shabbos. You're not allowed to squeeze it out on Shabbos. Rashi says, squeeze it out on Erev Shabbos, then you can use that grape juice for Kiddush. So you see, it's not royal Nasach Hagabi HaMizbech, and it's still kosher for Kiddush. The Gemara says, no, the Memra of the Gemara, that whatever wine is not royal Nasach, it refers to Hela Kamochim. If you have wine that's sitting around the house so long that it already has tiny particles are floating on the top, is starting to get spoiled, so that's not royal in Asach Hagabi HaMizbeach, so you're not allowed to use that for Kiddush. That's what the Gemara says. So Tosfos says that's the whole story, that's all. And the Rambam quotes the Goyim that that's not the whole story. If you have Yayim Mevushol, the Gemara says in other places that Yayim Mevushol is possible in Asach Hagabi HaMizbeach. If you cook the wine, so you can't use it for Nisach Hagabi HaMizbeach. So the Rambam quotes the Gurnim who adinami, yain that's mevushal is not kosher lekadoshol. Moshe Feinstein claims that all the pasteurized wine is all yain mevushal. So obviously most people don't buy this expensive European wine or Israeli wine. They buy wise American wine. American wines, they're all pasteurized. So all the pasteurized wines, according to Rambam Moshe, they're all mevushal. He disagrees with the Tzdeila Marov who gave the Hashgacha on the, now his stepson gives the Hashgacha, he's known as the Tzdeila Marov. He gives the Hashgacha on the Kerem wine. So his opinion was that it's only called Yayim Mevushal if it's mismayit, if you cooked it till it starts to evaporate, 212. And Moshe disagrees, he says it's not true. The Rishonim had a suffix, maybe even have Sherezel Bishula, maybe if you just cooked the wine till it's lukewarm, it didn't reach Yatzalez, maybe it's already called Yayim Mevushal. And in Shulchan Aruch we say no, it's only called Mevushal if you cooked it till the point of Yatzaledes. But Yatzaledes is way less. Yatzaledes is nowhere near 212. It's much less than 212. So Moshe says all the pasteurized wines, they're all Yayim Mevushal. And everybody uses it, so we obviously don't follow that opinion in the Rambam. But the Rambam and the Goyim felt that Yayim Mevushal is no good because whatever is not royal Nasach Hagabi Mizbeach is not good for Kiddush. And then the Rambam quotes in Hilchas Kiddush of Shamas, a machlokes with the goyim, and what if you have sugar added? If you add sugar to a carbon, that's the din of chol sar v'chol dvar shlo saktir menu yishal Hashem. If you mix in sugar, so you're not allowed to be makrevit. So what's the halacha if you mix in sugar to a carbon? If you be makrevit, you'll have the mitzvah, but you'll have an avera at the same time. What do you say? No, if you mixed in sugar, the whole carbon is puzzle. How do you translate that line in the pitmak dars nosam vadash psola? Psola means the whole thing is puzzle? If you'll be mocked by the Torah, the whole thing is possible, you won't be. Say, no, psola means you can't use it because you will have violated aver. So advash lo saktiru. But the Torah doesn't become possible. So then after meaning will be kiddush on Shabbos. There's no aver to have a candy of sugar at the same time that you're saying kiddush. So if the vart is that the yayin sheiruba sor advash becomes possible, so it's possible a yayin, so you can't use it for kiddush. But if you say it doesn't become possible, it's just that you can't use it because you will have violated an avera. So the avera doesn't apply to Kiddush. So that's a machlekes. The Rambam quotes a machlekes with the Goyim. What if you added Sora Dvash to the Yayin Shal Kiddush? Is that called Yayin Sheyefshel Lenasach Hagabi HaMizbeach Hana? So some argue the point and say that there's room to split between the two. I remember where Rabbi Gerelich suggested when he was saying over the name of the Briskerov that the suffix of the Menchas Chinuch is 2 days in the Rambam. So he said there's room to distinguish and say Menosam Vadvash Psala. Maybe over there Psala means Taka Pasul. The whole Ketoris is Pasul because as a din of Rokach Maisei Rakeach Mamulach Torah Kodesh, whatever you mix in that enhances the smell, the fragrant smell of the Ketoris, is al pidin a chelik of the Ketoris. And maybe if you mix in dvash, nosam advash, enonam yochalam and mepnei reicho, so based on the din of rakach maaser rakach mamulach, maybe there it becomes mitzurah. And maybe if you mix in sugar into the wine, there is no din of mamulach and rakach maaser rakach. There is no special din of adding in additional things that enhance the yayin. So maybe one can split between the two. Maybe one can say by Ketoris it would be psola literally, and by yayin lemizbech maybe it wouldn't be psola. Maybe it would just be that you have the avera, but the nisach hayayin would be kosher anyway. Mr. Herzog, the Balabas from the Kedem wine, has a shtikel Torah. He has heavy wine with sugar added, very heavy wine with sugar added. He claims that his wine is good even according to the Rambam, who says that sugar added is possible. He says he doesn't take sugar from domino sugar, he takes sugar from wine. He takes wine and he separates the sugar from the wine and he mixes. So what if I take wine that's not sweet and I mix two wines together? So you can't make kiddush on it. That's called sugar added. No, I mixed one wine with another wine. One wine is sweeter than the other. Those grapes are sweeter than these grapes. So what he does is, this is his chumrah, this is his einfall, he takes sugar added, heavy sugar added, he got the sugar from other wine. So he thinks, sounds good, it's a good argument, he thinks that that's not called the sorah drash. Could be he's even right, why not? He thinks even according to the Rambam is good, but it is mevushal. According to Rav Moshe, all the pasteurized wines, so his poisek is the tzela meruv. So the tzela meruv told him that's not mevushal until you cook it till 212. So when they pasteurize it, some of the bottles say mevushal, some of the bottles say ain't mevushal. He's following the tzela meruv. We told him that it's only called yai mevushal if it's cooked till the point of evaporation. Okay, this Shabbos is Parshas Par, so make sure you pay attention to the Parshas Par. Thank you very much.